Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Good to see you all today. We will have church today. Let us worship our Lord. If you're at home and you feel like it, please stand as we sing this call to worship. All you out here, all four of you, please stand out here as well.
Church, you may be seated in your homes if you like. Maybe you want to keep standing. It's up to you. Thank you so much for being here. Church, welcome, and I miss you. I miss being around you. I miss shaking your hands, and I don't know what this is going to do for church from here on out. I often wonder that, and just what the new normal is going to be, but it's quite alarming, isn't it? Well, welcome. Thank you for watching from your home and supporting your church, supporting your pastor and pastors, and I thank you for that. And I thank you for my staff and for Annie and Wes coming down here, and Mike, thank you for doing that. I trust you've had a good week in the Lord, that you've stayed safe and healthy. No doubt it's been a strange week. I feel like it's a Saturday every day. I had to tell my family that the other day. I feel like every day is a Saturday, almost like it says in the Bible that if we won't go to church, God will give us just a Sabbath all the time. And here we are. And then Sunday. Sunday is the only day that seems different, but other than maybe Wednesday prayer meeting and Tuesday celebrate recovery. But anyway, I went to the Home Depot this week, and I had to stand in line, and I had to be 6 feet apart from the next person behind me and in front of me, and most everyone had a mask on except me and Hope, and they stayed clear of us. And I learned this: even if you need to cough, don't. Okay, I had to hold. I have little allergies this time of year, but boy, when I coughed once, I mean, it cleared the aisle. I had the whole aisle to myself, because everyone will run from you. It's really different. And so, hey, this is a great week. It's Palm Sunday. And we are running this next week into the Passion Week, the last week of the ministry of Jesus on earth in the flesh. And today is Palm Sunday. And I want to challenge you, you dads and moms out there, to sit down with your kids, or just as if you're just a couple, you have no kids in the house, and start reading the week of Jesus Christ, the Passion Week. And if you go on the web, our webpage, and you go to Audio Sermons 2020, Audio Sermons 2020, and you look, and you'll see that I put up there a Passion Week and a list of devotions, scriptures you can read for every day. And so tonight, when you sit the family around before you go to bed, you'll be reading Luke 19, 28 through 44. And then Monday, you'll be reading Luke 19, 45 through 48. Some of them are longer, some are shorter. You don't have to read the whole thing, but just sit down with your family and begin to be the spiritual leader of your home. From what I'm seeing, church, we got to be self-feeders here. You know, maybe you've been used to just really depending on your church to have that Sunday school lesson and to meet with people, and now that's not there. I want to encourage you to do this. And so I'm giving you just some things to read to your family. Just read them to your family and talk about them a little bit. Have a little devotion, and I think it would be really a blessing to you. And so we got to start doing, we have a time now. Let's take advantage of this, all this time, and that, so that when this thing does end, and it's going to end someday, it's going to end, and we're going to be back together. Are you going to be better for it? Or are you going to be falling back in your spiritual life? Did you know that in the last few weeks, hard liquor has come up 70% in sales? Because people are just going home and drinking. That is not a way to take advantage of this kind of thing. And let's be stronger, not weaker at the end. I want you to remember, we have morning devotions every morning between 8:30 and 9 o'clock, sometime in there. You'll see different people this week doing that. I want to encourage you, if you'd like to do that. We have CR, Celebrate Recovery Service, at 6:30 Tuesday here. And we have prayer meeting at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. And so you can just log in. We got a new system going on here. There might be a few glitches, but be patient with us. This is kind of new to us. So we'll be streaming live in a different form here. We're just trying this. And so I thank you for your patience on that. Well, there's somebody you haven't seen in a little while. His name's Javi Cortez, and he's been off to college, and we wanted to see him at church, but I invited him down here. Javi, come on up here, and I'm going to have him pray and read some scripture for us, and I think you need to see him, and it's good to have you here, brother. Sorry about the social distancing. I can't help myself.
Okay, I'm going to read from Psalm 46. 1-3, and it is just, we find comfort and strength for our own heart and lives as we rest in God. So this is what Psalm 46 says. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, through the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, through its waters roar, and foam through the mountains, tremble at its swelling. Let us pray. Father God, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for today that you have given us, Lord. Thank you that we can just look back and know that you came about 2,000 years ago humbly on a donkey, Lord. Thank you so much that you came to save us, Lord. That you paid the ultimate price for our sins, that punishment that we deserved, Lord. So Lord, I just thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I just lift up the Lust family to you, Lord. I just pray that you just be with little Nathaniel and Renee and Tim and other kids, Lord. Please just be with them in this time, Lord. Lord, I just pray and ask that you just comfort the Holtons family, Lord. Just thank you for just the impact they are in the church, but Lord, just comfort them in this time, Lord. Lord, I just also pray for Joan, Lord. Just comfort her in this time as she just lost her husband, Lord. Lord, I just pray and ask that you just also be with this nation. Lord, I just pray and ask that you just comfort it. Lord, help us Christians be lights for you. And Lord, help us just serve you well and serve others well. And just tell someone about the gospel this week, Lord. Lord, I just pray and ask if we are out that you give us this divine appointment just to tell someone about the good news that you did on this upcoming Friday for us 2,000 years ago. Jesus, I thank you so much for everything that you do. Lord, just be with Pastor Mark as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen.
I believe we have a family from Oregon with us today as well, the Covington family. Bless you, friends. Please now, if you will, turn in your hymnal or look on the board here to hymn number 224. There is a fountain.
This is a time of offering. You can go on our webpage and give online, or you can mail it in. And it's Grand Hills Baptist Church, P.O. Box 61240. That's P.O. Box 61240, Reno, Nevada, 89508. I want to thank you for your giving, church. 89506, yeah, 89506. And I want to thank you for your giving. You've been faithful. And we are having offerings come in at a regular pace, and I just want to thank you for that. That just thrills this pastor's heart as you give to that, and we'll be back together soon, Lord willing. Thank you so much. We're going to go now to Brother Mike, as he is going to lead us in singing now. Thank you.
If you'd like to, please stand. We're going to sing Come Behold the Wondrous Mystery. This is a song about the gospel. And in verse 4, we're going to talk about the resurrection. We're going to be focusing on that this week. So let's sing this. Maybe this is a good song you can even sing throughout the week as you praise God for raising Christ from the dead. As we sing this, I believe, together.
Spirit, our God is three in one.
judge and our defender.
Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated in high, see, I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the
to see the pain written on your face. Buried in awesome weight of sin. Every bitter thought,
so much for that, the power of the cross. We are celebrating that, well, every day, but especially this week as we head towards Easter. And I want you to open your Bibles to John, the 19th chapter, and then also put your finger in the 23rd chapter of Luke as we go before the Lord. And at this time, and these are strange times, I've talked to people in their 80s and even 90s, and they have never seen a time like this, where the whole country has shut down, and many of you have had to change your schedule, to say the very least. It's having a huge impact on companies, on families. Some of you are even homeschooling, something that you thought you would never do, and my wife sent me a a little picture of what maybe homeschoolers, people thought of homeschoolers, maybe a month ago. I'll have Eric throw that up there. What people may have, if it works. Is it going to work, Eric? Is it? All right. This is what people probably thought of homeschoolers maybe a week ago or a month ago. But this is what they think of them now that you had to homeschool. It might be just a little different. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, that's what we think of homeschool moms now. that really tickled me. This homeschool stuff's a real deal, isn't it? And so, but hang in there, and remember this. What the teachers said about your kids, they were right, weren't they? All right. Yeah. All right. Hey, we are here, and we're finishing up the dying declarations of Jesus Christ. And if you'll turn, let's read them. Would you stand to your feet as in honor of God's word? And let's read that. Let's read that. It's John 19:28-30. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, to fulfill the scripture, said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon the branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. If you just flip over to Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 46. This is in the New American Standard Bible. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for you, for all that you've done for us. And Lord, as we've gone through these dying declarations, it just has touched my heart at what you did for us and for this sinful world who did not deserve it. We deserve judgment and punishment. But you, your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. And Lord, you say that you will have compassion on us and abundantly pardon us. And so, Lord, we want to praise your name. This being Palm Sunday, Lord, you were received so well. And within a week, the people were yelling, "Crucify you, Lord." I pray that you would change our hearts. We have a nation right now, Lord, that might be listening a little bit closer than they were a few weeks ago. Would you open our hearts, Lord? Would you show us that we're not going to live forever, that we're going to meet you? Would you touch our hearts today as we read your words as you said them as you were hanging on a cross dying for us? I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I've had many dying declarations in my life, probably more than most people. They say that a policeman who lives maybe a 20-year stint in the police department, every 4 years lives out a 75-year-old man's life. And so in that context, I've lived five 75-year-old man's lives, and so I would have a few more things like that. I remember many, though, that couldn't say the words. They were dying. I remember at 6th and Wells, as I pulled up, I saw a commotion and a man ran the yellow light in his moped. He was 65 years old. And he hit broadside of a pickup. And I got out there and they had just pulled his helmet off, which I was yelling at them not to do so. But they did it anyway. And I held his hand as he began to try to talk to me. And I realized that he was dying. And I just held his hand and told him he's going to be okay. And I don't know what it was, but I felt like he was a Christian as he looked into my eyes. I remember as he slipped away, and let go of my hand. I literally turned around and looked up because I felt like he was leaving me. He never got to say what was on his mind. He couldn't. I held the hand of a 15-year-old boy who was accidentally shot by his friend in a home in Southeast Reno. And I held his hand. There was no hope. The ambulance was so far away and the gunshot so bad. But he couldn't tell me anyway either. But I could tell he was trying. Jesus actually said them. They're documented. These are things he actually said. And let's review. We're going to get through all seven today, but let's review. We've already preached about four of them. The first thing he said was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Boy, do we need that, huh? And then he turned to a sinner, a thief, and showed us what it means to come to faith in Christ. And he said to him, truly, truly, I say to you today, you shall be with me in paradise. Some of the greatest words Jesus could ever say to you. I don't know if there's another sweeter thing he could say to you than that. And then he turns to his mother and says, woman, behold your son. And he turned to John, behold your mother. As he takes care of, he's not the only one suffering. He takes care of his mother. Fourthly, he realizes that to atone for our sins, he must be forsaken of God. Either Jesus is forsaken or we're forsaken. And the Father turns and forsakes his son. And Jesus yells out, one of the times we hear him yell out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That has always caused so much emotion in my life to know that at that point, and we don't know how long, it could have been the whole day he felt that distant. But there he was. A lot of great men and women in this world have left their dying declarations. Let me read you a few. Alexander Hamilton said this at his death. I have a tender reliance on the mercy of the Almighty through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a sinner. I look to him for mercy. And he died. William Shakespeare. I commend my soul into the hand of God, my Creator, hoping and assuredly believing through the only merits of Jesus Christ, my Savior, to be made partaker of life everlasting, and my body to the earth whereof it was made. And he breathed his last. That's long. You know, he was a Shakespeare, so he had to be pretty long about that. Hey, let me do one more. Martin Luther said this just before he died. It sounds familiar. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O God of truth. And he breathed his last. Those are amazing, aren't they? Well, here we see the last three dying declarations of Jesus. And at a time like this, I think we need to grab onto them. The fifth one, well, is just quite amazing to me. The fifth one is amazing because the one who says it is the one that made every spring of water that came out of the ground. He's the one that brought rain from heaven and snow into our mountains. He's the one that filled the oceans and brought all the water into this world. Wow, there's more water in this world than there is land. And yet he says in John 19:28, I thirst. The hours of torture on the cross took a tremendous toll on the body of Jesus. Execution by crucifixion was not a sudden death. It was a long, drawn-out death, and in many cases, days. A long, torturous death carried out under the eastern sun, by the way. We book our trips to Israel in March and February, because later on, it's just unbearable to walk around there, especially near the Dead Sea. His wounds and hands and feet would be quickly inflamed as he began to sink farther and farther and rip these nail-torn places, and resulting in, well, severe thirst, and his body would be soon dehydrated. David, the psalmist, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would write this in Psalms, the 22nd chapter, verses 14 through 18. Speaking graphically of his condition, it says, "My strength is dried up like a potsherd, a piece of clay, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws, and you lay me in the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierce my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They look, they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." Why do you think they were at the crucifixion, written some 750 years before Jesus ever was born? Yes, our Savior suffered real death. Although Jesus was divine, he was the God, he was also the God man. He was uniquely man and felt all the emotions and pain as we feel them. When it says, "I thirst," he is declaring that I'm not a phantom. I'm not just a mere spiritual thing. I am flesh and bone, and I'm dying. And Jesus earlier refused to drink this vinegar wine, but now he allows it, really for two reasons. One is, it was necessary because he had yet two crucial words to utter, which his body was out of water, and he needed to say them for our benefit. Number two, to fulfill Scripture. It says that in the Scripture. In Psalm 69:21, "They gave me vinegar for my thirst." He is fulfilling Scripture. I don't know about you, but if I was really thirsty one day, vinegar wouldn't be my first choice. That sounds pretty rough. I do like dill pickle juice now. That's got some vinegar in it, and I'll drink it right out of the jar. It kind of gross, but my daughter Annie does too. Probably shouldn't tell everybody that, but she does. She likes it. Now, Jesus knew that for him to do his Father's will required him to fulfill all that had been prophesied of the Messiah down the ages. And this fifth word from the cross serves to tell us that there's real suffering at the cross. There's real death. Our Lord suffered a real human death. It's interesting that our Lord did not mention this physical suffering until late into his crucifixion. He has been hanging here now 6 hours. And he now gets to his physical pain. He would first handle much more important things, such as forgiveness of others. He would do that right away. The redemption of a repentant thief came next. Before he got to his physical things, the suffering of a loving mother he would handle first. And before he got to his physical death, the separation of him and his father would come. That is amazing to me. Before he does this, dying a physical painful death is nothing. Listen to me, nothing compared to dying unforgiven. I don't care how you die. I don't care how miserable you might die. I don't care what the deal is. To die unforgiven is to die a miserable death, for it's eternal.
That's right.
You can only do so much to this body before it gives up. But this soul that lives within me is alive forever. And that is what we call the second death. Do you have such priorities in your life? Are these the priorities of your life? Is your own forgiveness and the forgiveness of others more important than your own rights? Is that how you feel? Are the lost more important than your own comforts? They are for Jesus. Is taking care of your family more important than your own personal desires? It is for Jesus. And is being near to God, the God you love, more important than you being healed of your present situation, whatever it might be? Is that your priorities? Jesus put all of those before his own physical pain. This is amazing love that Jesus would do that for us. Let's go to his sixth word, one of my favorites of all. Something that probably the Lord kind of shouted out one of the loudest, other than my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And that is, it is finished. What a great, wonderful thing for us to hear at the cross. And it was a loud cry that rang out over the horrifying scene as he was perishing with two other men. And what did Jesus mean by this? What was finished? He was referring here to his sufferings, maybe? His sufferings about finished? Well, it really hasn't yet. Certainly, it's part of it, but even more, it was the end of an era. It was an end of, like, we've never seen it before. We've seen that in our culture. We might be seeing it right now. An end of how things used to be. But this was huge. The Old Testament contains a long list of foretelling utterances, beginning with our first parents in the garden, when God told the serpent in the Garden of Eden that he would what? And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. Right then, here in the third chapter of Genesis begins to look towards this scene that Jesus is finishing. Jesus' cry was proclaiming his victory over the evil one, the devil. In the huge struggle between good and evil, the Son of Man had suffered grievously, but he had finished the work of redemption. That his father had committed to him. And he didn't say, I'm finished. But rather he says, it is finished. It was the shout of victory over sin. The shout of victory over death. The shout of victory over hell. It was a tremendous blow in the spiritual world right then. And I think it was right then that the devil knew he had made a mistake. Hey, this sixth word from the cross consists of one single word in the Greek. It is finished here in the English, but in the Greek it's teleo. That's it. Teleo. We think of that as not much, but this word is an incredible word. You see, the verb tense is perfect. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? The verb tense is perfect. It means it is finished. It stands finished. And it always will be finished. Do you understand that Jesus will never have to do this again? It is finished for eternity. It continues to be finished. It will never, ever have to be done again. You know, I washed my car this week. Guess what? I'm going to have to wash it again sometime. Hey, it might shock some of you who've been to my house. I cleaned my garage this week. I had maybe a little time. My sons definitely had more time. We actually enjoyed it. Something to do, you know. And I cleaned my garage. I guarantee you, it will have to be done again. Not too long. In fact, I could probably clean it a little bit more today if I wanted to. You see, those things have to be done over. But this one, no. It is like the message of a rubber stamp bearing the words, payment received. When stamped across the bill, don't you like that? Well, that's what Jesus did for you and for me. That is what Jesus was proclaiming from the cross. It is paid. Man's account of God has been settled. The debt is wiped out. A full, perfect, and sufficient sacrifice has been completed. And satisfaction of our sins for the whole world. Yes, there is victory over sin. Christ accomplished the greatest task in all of history. He made a way for a sinner to go to heaven. That is an amazing accomplishment. That a sinner, because of the death of Jesus, can walk into glory, justified. But outside of Christ, it's impossible. You'll never be good enough, sinner. Church member, you'll never be good enough. pastor, priest, king, prophet. You'll never be good enough outside of the blood of Christ. That's what's been finished for you and for me. Let's go to the seventh word. The seventh word. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus' first word started with Father. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And here it is, the last word spoken. He says, Father. He starts with Father and ends with Father. God the Father had accepted the sin offering made by Jesus, as would soon be demonstrated by his resurrection from the dead, which we will celebrate next week. Jesus had come from his Father, and to his Father he would return. Now first he had to die a physical death. These words tell us that his life did not just ebb away. In fact, Jesus had previously said no one could take his life. In fact, it says this in John 10:18, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. The Lord laid it down on his own initiative. Jesus did this for me and for you. Therefore, it was that Jesus consciously surrendered his life. He laid it upon the altar as a burnt offering of the Old Testament. This last word from the cross is in, well, Psalms 31. Like David, he would still say, but I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God, my time. Or our times are in your hand. What a great message for today. Do you know these times are in the hand of God? Your time, your death. It's appointed unto man who wants to die, and after this, the judgment. You have an appointment with God. Do you know that? That this thing, death, that God died at the exact moment in history that was foretold since the beginning of the world. That yours is also. I used to worry about that. I remember I was just 24 years old. I was a year on the Reno Police Department. When Hal Wood, a good friend of mine, a lieutenant, was working graveyard shift, running the graveyard shift, when he thought he would just pick up a small call down on 4th Street of a suspicious subject. There was an alarm going off in the area. He pulled in the back alley on East 4th Street to find a man walking down the alley, and he hopped out on him and said, hey, can I talk to you? We've had a burglary in the area. The guy goes, yeah. And Hal asked him for some ID. The man reached down behind his pocket and pulled out a crowbar, just kind of a mini crowbar, about a 20-inch crowbar, that he had just done a burglary with, had the cash on him from the burglary, and hit Hal Wood right across the forehead. Gave him 84 stitches. Just sliced his head right open. Hal said it cracked so loud, he thought he got shot with a gun. He thought what it was a gun. And that he'd just been shot in the head. He hit the ground immediately. Blood went into his eye, and he could only see a figure of the man. Back then, this is the late 80s, we had what we would call sometimes wheel guns, real guns, revolvers. He carried a 4-inch Python, 357. And Hal just pulled his gun out and just went like this, just pointed in the air and pulled the trigger. And he put it right between the man's legs. And the bullet went up and literally lodged in the heart of the man. The man stepped back, which I would too. And Hal thought he missed him. He couldn't see him very well and shot him 5 more times from about 6 feet as the man fell over dead. To hear that whole story, and with all that had happened with me in the last few weeks of being a 1-year policeman, I got very, very afraid. A fear overcame me of dying on the streets of Reno. And from that point on, for 2 weeks, I went into protection mode. I went into survival mode. I went into avoidance of dangerous situations. Do you know how hard that is as a policeman in a city like Reno? And I began to see that I had a real problem on my hands, because I was going to either get me hurt or I was going to get somebody else hurt. And I finally couldn't take it anymore, and I just went to my pastor, the pastor that used to be here, James Thompson. And I went to him at his home, knocked on his door, and said, "I got to talk to you. I'm having a problem. I'm scared. And I'm scared to tell anybody. I'm supposed to be a tough cop. I can't tell my sergeant. I can't tell my buddies. I can't tell anybody." And you know, he's, Pastor Thompson's not a normal pastor. He's not even a normal guy. Pastor Thompson was in a World War II. He's seen a lot. He was a CPA, not just for anybody, but for the mob. Okay? He was a whiskey-running outlaw on all the dry counties in Texas before Jesus got a hold of him. Okay? He's a realist. And I just knew he was going to say, "Hey, Mark, you're going to be okay. God's going to take care of you. You're not going to die in the streets of Reno." He can't say that. In fact, he said the opposite. He says, "Mark, it is up to God how he's going to collect you. I need to know, are you okay with that?" That's who asked me. I said, "Wow." He says, "I want you to know you don't have much choice in the matter. Because if you're going to die on the streets of Reno, it won't matter whether you're a policeman or not." And I just began to say, "Well, what am I going to do?" He says, "Mark, surrender your life to God, the physical life you have." I'd already come to Christ. I had surrendered my soul. But surrendering this thing that Jesus called "I thirst," this physical body, and I finally come to the conclusion that, you know what, God's going to have to do what he's going to do, and I'm going to have to trust him with him, that he loves me and he knows the best for me. And that day, I surrendered my whole life to Jesus. And I let him collect me however he wants to collect me. And I went on another 19 years on the police department with several of my friends being collected on the streets of Reno. But by his grace, he kept me. You see, after I had surrendered my life, I was bold as a lion. I went out, I did my job, I didn't avoid things, I didn't do things stupid. Maybe a few things I did that were stupid. But for the most part, you see, until you surrender your life and you're ready to die, you'll be never ready to live. You will try to protect all this. And guess what? You can't protect your health. Have you figured it out? You can't protect your wealth. It's going. It's gone. This last few weeks it left. What are you talking about? You don't know. Hey, I got a call this week from a family in our church. I mean, they were worried because their daughter had coronavirus and someone had already died near her. I mean, this was real. It was real for me, and my family stopped everything and we prayed for Haley. Can you do this? Can you commend your spirit into the Father's hand? Not when you die, right now, as you live and breathe. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. This speaks of his confidence and total trust in God, his Father. I found this security in the Father's hands at this point of where Jesus was dying, an amazing thing, because just a few moments before this, Jesus said, my God, thou hast forsaken me. Jesus was now saying, whether you forsake me or not, or however I feel about it, I'm surrendering my life to you. Do you know we all have to die that way? You're not going to all have the answers. If you think you're going to die without a little bit of doubt, you're crazy. There's a whole lot of things this flesh struggles with. But I want you to know that your faith in the Father will come through. That he is faithful. And Jesus did this. He did it right here. We will see it again. The Christian martyr, the first one, Stephen, what did he say just before he died? Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. This is an ongoing commitment of the Christian life. They have been used by countless believers in Christ ever since. The security comes from knowing him whom we have believed and are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. And that day is the day you die and the day I die. There is eternal security in the cross. Do you see that here? Jesus was sure of it. And so should we. The prophet Zechariah looked forward to the coming of Jesus. It says here in 13:1 of Zechariah, on that day a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from the sin and impurity of their life. What a wonderful thing Christ has done. Have you been to the cross? The cross meant death for Jesus, but praise God, it's the place where life is ministered to us through his death. Let me tell you what you get from the cross. In the words of Jesus, Father, forgive them. I want you to know that there is forgiveness for you at the cross. You can have forgiveness right now. Turn to Jesus. Hey, it says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Hey, there is salvation for you at the cross. You can come and be saved and be with the Lord. Hey, woman, here is your son. There's love for you at the cross. He knows your suffering. He knows your difficulty. He knows your temptation. My God, why have you forsaken me? There's atonement for you at the cross. Everything's paid for. His own father turned from Jesus so that he could turn to you and be a child of God. Hey, I thirst. Jesus really suffered for you at the cross. It was real. It is finished. Jesus was the victor over sin for you at the cross. He is our champion. And lastly, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. There is eternal security for you at the cross. Dear brothers and sisters, have you been to the cross? Do you know Jesus like this? Well, if you don't, you can turn to him. And you can just, the Bible says the words are near you, in your mouth. That if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe on your heart that God raised him from the dead, you too will be saved. This is a prayer. This is a commitment. This is a time when I was 21 years old, I surrendered my life and gave my life to Christ. And I wish that I didn't have to do it every once in a while. I'd have to do it every once in a while. I have to redo it. I have to let go of the things I've grabbed. Maybe you're not a Christian today and you say, you know, I've never done that. I've never asked Jesus to forgive me and save my life. And really turn from my sins and come to Christ. This is the time to do that. You don't know what this next week holds. You could have the coronavirus and not even know it right now. I could be standing right here. Maybe you're a Christian and you've been grabbing up stuff and trusting in your 401k or your retirement or whatever you have for your house or whatever wealth you have in the bank. And you're finding out that that can be really threatened. I need to give up those things and go back to trusting God with everything instead of the stuff you have. It's just a prayer. Let's pray. And after I pray here, we're going to have some music as we close this service. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd be with those right now in their homes and in this small audience. That, Lord, we would really come clean, and would you forgive us of our sins, Lord. If we're Christians today, Lord, would you forgive us? Help us to turn away from our sins. Help us to turn away from idols in our life that are really coming clear now. And Lord, if there's anybody, and I'm sure there is, that have never really trusted you, Lord, they've played around with religion, they've played around with you, they've played around with your word, but they're done. and they're ready to really surrender their life. Would you bless them today as they receive Christ? In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, I want to know if you receive Christ. You can call me. My number is 775-225-1841. You can call me, and I would love to hear if you came to Christ today. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, church, for going to church today. God bless.
This hymn is hymn number 283. Please stand as we sing this. We stand at home as well.